KTWH-LP 99.5 FM, Two Harbors, Minnesota. Stay tuned. What's happening coming up in just a few minutes with Pete Smerud, the director of Wolf Ridge, followed by Kenny Blumenfeld's Weather Tidbits. You're listening to KTWH. All right, you're listening to What's Happening on KTWH, and Pete Smerud, the director of Wolf Ridge Learning Center, is calling guests this morning here on What's Happening. Thank you so much, Pete, for calling in, and good morning from KTWH.
Good morning, Katya.
Good morning. Thank you so much for calling in on this brisk February morning here. I suppose you're up in Finland where maybe it's even a little chillier than it is here down here.
Yeah, it's a little chilly, if it's for sure. I'm up at Lax Lake, and as the wind whips across the lake, you get these big tornadoes of snow that cross, and it's dramatic and cold, and yet, you know, it's Minnesota winter. That this is what we should expect every once in a while. So
that's right.
It'll keep us a little hardy and such. So, no, in some ways, I actually kind of enjoy it.
Yes. Well, good to hear. Well, let's talk a little bit about this year. We interviewed you just about a year ago. You had just been to China and had an incredible experience there by your account and learned so much from them, and also were able to imagine that we could really help them in their environmental, getting their kids out in nature. And then COVID happened, and I actually remember discussing it with you. I think it had already sprung up. We were aware of it. You got out of China before it was an issue, but wow. What can you say about how, what has happened there, or with our relations with China or not, just in the last year? I'm just so curious.
Well, the irony is astounding, isn't it, that feeling like Wolf Ridge and our work is at, you know, just about the pinnacle
right.
of our achievement. As I landed in China the day after the Wuhan market was closed, came home with intentions of helping to drive the largest population of people on the planet into more environmental, nature-connected ethics and behaviors. And, of course, as the coronavirus spread, China was shut down dramatically right as I was leaving. I arrived home, if you recall, January 16th, and it was getting serious fast over there. People were dying. Cities were shut down. And I stayed in contact with numbers of the friends I'd made over there. And when like the United States talks about sequestering away and shelter in place, China does that at a whole nother level. I talked to friends who never left their apartment for 30-plus days. They weren't allowed to go out on the streets in those cases.
Wow.
Now, they have a really robust food delivery system that where we have Grubhub or something like that. That sort of nature has been going for many years in China, and so that's how people were getting their food. You couldn't go to grocery stores, you couldn't go to anywhere for weeks and weeks at a time.
Wow.
And they jumped on it, and they helped to then lock it down and stop the spread, but you know, they suffered badly, so it shut down entire nature education programs and nature centers for months. And of course, the same thing has happened over here. While we stayed in touch for a while, it kind of faded away. You know, they weren't working. And by March 13th of 2020, Wolfridge, I had to shut Wolfridge Environmental Learning Center down.
Yes.
And the last children left that day. And we have not had any children onto the Wolfridge's campus since. You know, when you think about businesses that have been able to open and close or at 50% capacity, we've had none of that. We've had a 99% loss of participation and income since then. And so the priorities, as you can imagine, for me and my team, quickly China was set aside and it became survival mode, and it still is to a certain extent a bit of survival mode. And yet we've adapted, we've pivoted, and Wolfridge has been really succeeding in some new ways that being in East Lake County, I think folks know we're the eighth largest employer in Lake County as a whole, and certainly a major employer in East Lake County. And it's rough. We were able to keep people fully employed, the entire team, for about 3 months. Hmm. But by midsummer, I was forced with difficult decisions of survival, and we had to lay off 2/3 of the staff. And that's tough. That's really tough.
Yeah.
On all sorts of levels. And so the small skeletal crew that was kept continues to do work, and we're actually developing some new capacities and new skills in this odd and challenging time.
My guess is that those are related to doing virtual programs for kids where they're at. Is that right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
We got a PPP loan in April, May, June, and used it to really then invest in some equipment and pay the staff to develop those skill sets, and that is what we've been doing. We have done just very few day use programs on site for locals or tourists that wanted to come up and do the ropes course or ski or snowshoe now or things like that, something we call Adventures on the Ridge at Wolfridge Environmental Learning Center. And yet we've served thousands and thousands of people now virtually. And we developed an Adventures in Learning series. Anyone could Google that, and it'd be Wolfridge Adventures in Learning. And there are about a dozen online lessons with interactive photos and videos that we've used. And used all over the world now. The wild part of it is, in a normal year at Wolfridge, we have about 13,000 people that come and stay on our site and take courses. And we've had about 13,000 people who have downloaded and used those Adventures in Learning series.
Hmm.
And what's kind of wild, not only are we raising our capacity, developing new skill sets in script writing, videography, editing, RGIS story maps. It's been kind of fun for the folks here that they really are developing new skills. And we have audiences we're serving now in Arizona, in Seattle, in Dayton, Ohio. We've got 4 schools in Europe who are using our lessons.
Hmm.
And so in some ways, we're expanding our audience
right.
with our mission.
Right. It's kind of a silver lining, isn't it?
Yeah. And now, while those have been out there, we are really building momentum now, and as I look ahead, we have over 90 Wolfridge, quote-unquote, virtual field trips that are scheduled in the months ahead, where kids in schools will engage. We'll have one naturalist who's sort of on the computer facilitating it, and one naturalist who's live out on Wolfridge property.
Hmm.
And some interactive photos to look at the animal tracks the naturalist seen, compare, say, when the photo was taken 3 days ago, a 360-degree photo out on Raven Lake, to compare what we see today, and to look at the slush, to measure the ice depth, to look at the animal tracks, things like that. And we've got schools who are purchasing these virtual field trips, and we're doing some earned income that way and some great education and helping teachers as well.
Wow.
Which has been a great thing.
Well, you're definitely nimble on your feet, the whole Wolf Ridge Center. And my biggest hope, of course, and I'm sure yours as well, is that once COVID ends, as it will, to the degree that you can open up again, that you will be able to do so. What can you tell us about that?
Well, that's a great question. Of course, I had higher hopes for the vaccine rollout than what has occurred thus far. I think everyone did. Right now, we are planning on an opening in June. That's what I can tell people, that we are hoping and expecting by then. We're at a point where vaccines are rolled out significantly, and we can do some family programs, do some adult programs, programs where we can easier, more sequester small groups. Our level of like youth camp programming, where unrelated kids congregate and live together in a room, that remains a bit uncertain. But we're looking at probably a lesser capacity through the summer. And then we are planning in September for a full open, and the schools we're talking to are fully engaged. And actually the words we're hearing is this is exactly what our children need. We need them outdoors. We need them gathered together socially, emotionally, as well as engaging in exciting learning. And so we are expecting a full year and planning by September that we're back in the game at full strength.
That's really good to hear. Sure hope that is able to happen. And I am convinced that, you know, as soon as things do open up and people are allowed to be present with each other again, I mean, the demand for everything, every way to do that is just going to be skyrocketing. I have a feeling there will not be an empty bed at Wolf Ridge for a long time.
I would love that. That I think, you know, one of the phrases that's resonated as I've talked to donors and some of the schools, et cetera, is, you know, we got hit with this acute pandemic that was just slammed in our face. And many comments I've heard from those that love and support Wolf Ridge is, we're going to need you even more when this acute pandemic is over to address the slow-moving pandemics of climate change, loss of biodiversity, disconnection of our youth from nature. And that those are epidemics, as it were, pandemics that have just been moving along a bit more slowly and yet are just as critical to our future as getting through this current coronavirus issue.
And I like to think that we have learned through the coronavirus that we actually can respond to a crisis in a very immediate and crisis-y way. I mean, that it's like you say, these other crises are slower building, but they are ultimately stand to do just as much destruction and cause as much human suffering, or many times more than the pandemic has done so far. And so I'm glad to hear you say that, and that it sounds like, I mean, obviously you are faced a huge loss of income that you presumably had to at least some degree find elsewhere, but hopefully people are supporting you and donors and foundations with the hopes of exactly what you just said.
Yes, and it is. And for anyone out listening out there, please, if you value this sort of work in the future, we would greatly accept and be very grateful for any support. And it is what is keeping us alive. There's no question.
Yeah.
And I am here to tell you, I am absolutely 100% confident Wolf Ridge will make it through this. We'll come out as strong or stronger, again, some new capacities than ever before. And that's not in question at all. And it's just now a matter of when I can start to reinstate people at full time, build the team back up. That will take a while. There'll be a transitional period, but we'll be back as strong as ever. And that's without question.
Yeah, wonderful. All right. Well, Pete, on one final note, I know you've had an incredible personal health journey through COVID as well as your professional, and have had some time down at the Mayo Clinic. And wow. So just would love, I know that there are many people that care about you and care about Wolf Ridge. And if you want to just give us any updates on yourself, that would be wonderful.
Sure. Oh, as if all of the past year wasn't challenging enough. In late October, I was diagnosed with cancer and an oral throat and neck cancer. And I am on the backside of all my treatments, surgery and chemo and radiation. And my optimism, my prognosis is very good. My chance of survival and getting through this with the cure is very good. The team at Mayo has taken fabulous care of me. I'm optimistic, and I'm in recovery now and doing well. And so I plan to stick around here for a long time to come. And thanks for the kind thoughts and wishes that I will get through this, as just as Wolf Ridge will get through the pandemic. And I hope to be stronger on the other side as well.
Wow. Well, thank you so much, Pete, on a personal level. Yeah. And also, I'm sure there's going to be lots and lots of love and good wishes flowing your way after this interview. Thank you. So thank you again for putting yourself out there and getting Wolf Ridge through this. And like you said, hopefully better on the other side. And we'll have you back again when things continue to develop.
Thanks, Katya, very much.
All right. You take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Pete Smerud. He is the director of Wolf Ridge Environmental Learning Center in Findlay, Minnesota, and an extraordinary leader and individual, as you can tell from that interview. Whew. All right, let's return to a little bit of music break. Pretty soon, we will have Kenny Blumenfeld with Weather Tidbits here on What's Happening. You're listening to KTWH. As promised, it is KTWH, and you are listening to What's Happening. We have Kenny Blumenfeld on the line. He is a senior climatologist at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources and a regular on our show. Good morning, Kenny.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you warm enough?
I'm warm. I'm very toasty right here in the studio. I had a bit of a brisk bike ride to the studio this morning, especially since I was driving or biking west. It was one of the colder bike rides I've had. My eyelids were definitely getting clicky by the end. And this has been a much discussed event coming up, and you told us last week there was going to be a big event, and it maybe wasn't quite what you thought it might be, but it sure was a big one. What can you tell us about it?
Yeah. It wasn't quite what I wanted either, I have to admit.
Yeah.
I mean, I love winter storms. They just, I know, I mean, hardships aside, they're just, there's something about the reduced visibility and just kind of the viciousness of it. I just,
I know. They're awe-inspiring is what they are. Yeah. They really are. I'm with you.
And so, you know, we've been watching this thing. It was actually advertised for about 10 days, and it kind of came and went in the models. And the big storm that we thought we were going to get kind of ended up off in, really, it hit Wisconsin pretty hard. Mm. And just kind of barely clipped Minnesota. We got about 2 inches here in the Twin Cities. I assume up on the North Shore you got something similar, maybe a little less in some places, a little more in others. Looked like the Grand Marais area maybe got a bit more.
Yeah, we got but between an inch and 2 inches. Definitely not anything major to talk about.
No. And that, but what is a little different is this system basically tapped into, it's just a kind of massive circulation phenomenon. And so usually, you know, our snowstorms or our weather events are caused by low pressure. And the low pressure is this counterclockwise circulating area where, you know, you get a lot of precipitation. And usually once they move through the region, you know, they end up out of the U.S. within a few days, and then they're off over the Atlantic Ocean. And sometimes they actually come back around the world 25 days later or so and hit us again. But this one didn't even make it past Michigan. It got blocked by high pressure off to the east.
Hmm.
And in heading up to get around that block, it has to turn straight north. And it's going to do some really odd things over the next 3 days. It's basically heading north into the Arctic of Canada, and then it's going to head west, which is not common.
Hmm.
And if you just think about the way these systems work, on the backside, the wind turns around from the north. And so we're going to have, as this thing will not really get out of our hair, we're going to have a persistent feed of northerly or northwesterly winds for days.
Hmm.
And this is just opening up the gates of the Arctic, cold air pouring into the continent. We're not going to set any records here in Minnesota, for sure. It's not even close to a record-setting cold outbreak. But the length of it is pretty impressive. It looks like we've got, you know, 10 days or so where it's just going to be, you know, it's going to be cold and kind of windy.
Hmm. It's the wind that seems so amazing, because usually, you know, the wind brings it in and then it all settles down.
Yeah, that's the normal model, is that you get a couple, you know, maybe 1 or 2 days where it's kind of wind chilly. And then the high pressure moves overhead and everything just chills out and mellows out. And then you kind of warm up after that. But because the same system is just going to sit up to the north, you know, and I'm talking several hundred to 1,000 miles off to the north, but it's not going to do much. It's even going to retrograde or move westward, and it's just going to keep us in that circulation. Meanwhile, there's other weather systems that will be coming through, dragging more cold air in. This is you've probably heard the term, but this is caused by a disturbance in the polar vortex, or a disruption in the polar vortex. So normally you have this band of air, especially aloft, that kind of rotates around the polar region, and it can get disturbed. And then when it gets disturbed, you get these waves that kind of get transported down towards the Earth and then spill out over North America, and they cause the jet stream to kind of, I don't know, get a little bit deranged and move really far south, and you end up with these cold air outbreaks. This one's a little unique, a little odd because of the shape of it. It's not allowing systems to move, so we're just going to be in the influence of the same cold air mass for, you know, week and a half or so.
Hmm.
So cold weekend, you know, temperatures are going to be, especially away from the lake, don't be surprised to see temperatures falling into the negative 20s, maybe some negative 30s in those cold spots. And then the wind chills, especially really tonight through Sunday, wind chills, some of them are going to be down towards negative 40 in some areas. So it's a cold one. But I want to put this in perspective, too.
Yeah, that'd be great.
In International Falls, for example, where we have a pretty good long-term record, and it's, you know, the icebox of the nation. So the forecast low on Monday by the National Weather Service, so what currently looks like the coldest day of this event would be Monday morning in northern and northeastern Minnesota. The forecast low of negative 30 would tie International Falls with 100 other dates for the 450th coldest day on record at that station. So it's not anywhere near historic in terms of the magnitude of the cold. And in fact, the statistics are even less impressive if you look at what's forecast in southern Minnesota. The point isn't to poo-poo this cold, but it's, you know, we've talked about this, that we're certainly getting a good, long, cold exposure, and of course that can be quite dangerous, and, you know, septic systems are vulnerable if there's not good snow cover. All of that is still true. It's just that we have done much worse in Minnesota, and we've experienced much worse in terms of the magnitude of the cold. And I'm kind of searching for good metaphors, but, you know, the fact that we're getting the same length of cold, I mean, it's a long cold outbreak. That's the one thing that this has going for it. But we're not going to get that extreme in terms of the depth of the cold. And it kind of feels like, okay, so winter can still hit a lot of home runs. It just doesn't hit them nearly as far. So you get these cold days. You know, I think it's the same outbreak, even in the 1980s or 90s, we would have easily had temperatures into the negative 40s in parts of northern Minnesota, and we would have had wind chills into the negative 50s and 60s. It would have been a kind of common, extreme type event that we used to get a lot. And this one just has, you know, some of its teeth have been filed down a little bit. So I don't want to diminish it. It is, you know, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be pretty long. And I think, given the pandemic, people are going to be hard-pressed to think of what they can do. Because like you said, I mean, I bike in the winter, too. It's not going to be ideal biking weather.
Yeah.
it's not great for tromping around outside, you know, when the wind is blowing at 15 to 20 miles an hour and the air temperature is already around zero or lower. That's tough.
Yeah.
That is tough.
Yeah.
Just that we, you know, a little perspective helps us realize how far we've come. I mean, we just, what's an extreme cold outbreak now ranks pretty low on the all-time list.
Yeah. Well, I think you've mentioned that before, and, you know, it's just our adaptability. I mean, we've so adapted to warmer winters, it seems like we're all just sort of inevitably treating this like a big deal just because we haven't seen it like this in a while. And well, you did mention earlier that there might be some more snow with that. Is that still true?
Well, so not while it's extremely cold. So there's this idea that it's too cold to snow. And because I know that your listeners are all really smart, let's just debunk that. It's never too cold to snow. It's just that when it's really cold, the mechanisms that cause snow are generally pushed way to the south and don't affect our region. So, I mean, you'd have to get to like 100 and some below before snowflakes would be impossible to form.
Okay.
That's not going to happen.
Good to know.
But it does look like, at least if we stay, you know, at some point the extreme cold kind of breaks, but there's a lot of indication that we just remain colder than normal at that point. And that's a really good setup for high frequency light snowfall events, you know, that come every 2 to 3 days and you get a few inches of snow. So we tend to get snowy right after a major cold outbreak, but it can't guarantee it. They're not locked in by law or anything. So it would be nice to see some additional snow come once the heart of the cold is out of our way.
All right. Well, that sounds reasonable to me, and I hope it comes to pass. Yeah. All right. Well, we're out of time, Kenny. Thanks so much for joining us, as always, and hope to talk to you again next week.
Yeah, we'll talk to you next week. Thanks. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye. I'm speaking with Kenny Blumenfeld, Senior Climatologist for the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. And we have run out of time on what's happening